Welcome to the Well Podcast. We'd like to thank you for joining us as we discover, encounter, and display the love of Jesus. Our services are at 9 and 11 a.m. in Artesia, California. You can find out more about us by going online and visiting us at gotothewell.church and follow us on Instagram and Facebook. You are loved.
So we've been going over a scripture, Hebrews. It says, therefore, let us move beyond the elementary teachings about Christ and be taken forward into maturity. Our word of the year for this year is move, as you can see. And it's really important for us to understand that as followers of Jesus, we're not going to make any impact on our lives, on others' lives around us, if we just stay planted, right? There is a maturity that needs to happen. I don't know of any of you in here who are not potty trained, right? Wouldn't that be kind of odd? Like, you are born, you start growing up, and at five, you're like, I just decided I'm not going to be potty trained. And so as an adult, you're not potty train, like, no, all of us in here, there's a maturity that needs to happen, right? There's a movement that needs to happen. And it's the same way in our relationship with Christ and even with others around us. So we need to move beyond our elementary teachings about Christ and allow him to move us forward into maturity. Eric has said this a lot in the last couple of weeks, but I am right there with him, and we truly believe that we can experience freedom when we discover, encounter, and display the love of Jesus. Amen. There's something that happens when we put ourselves into that place and we're willing to discover new things about him, when we're willing to really dig deep and encounter those things and those hard questions and be okay sometimes when we don't have the answers to them, but that's where faith comes in, right? And we're saying, okay, Lord, I don't know what this is about, but I'm going to trust you and I'm going to move into displaying your love because it's an overflow of what you've done for me, what I've discovered and encountered about you. You see, in this series we've been discussing called Us, it's a series about intimacy. And as we've kind of talked, and one of our main points that we want to get across is that we were created to experience intimacy with God and with people. So we, right there, boom. Media, you are so awesome. Thank you, Jacob. Everybody give Jacob a round of applause. Our tech team is phenomenal. All of this and the lights and stuff and sound, we have a whole team. You guys are amazing. We are created to experience intimacy with God and with people. But there's a problem that we've seen. Because of the various moments in our life, because of various things that have happened in our life where we have experienced disappointments or hurts or pains, maybe even unrealistic expectations, our understanding of true intimacy has unfortunately been distorted. A new definition has come about, it's been reshaped, and a lot of times we've been confused about what true intimacy really is. Back in the garden with Adam and Eve, the first thing the enemy did was to make Adam and Eve question God, right? He made them question, did God really say this? Did he really say what you think he said? Did he? And then it made them start questioning and wondering, oh, did he? They started doubting God. And then what happened is, once they partook of the fruit, one of those, you guys know what I'm saying. because of that lie that the enemy placed in their heart, they went against God's command, and immediately it caused a separation. It caused that separation between Adam and Eve and God, but then Adam and Eve towards each other. The first emotion they felt was shame. And guilt and shame, because they realized that they were naked for the first time. Imagine that. You just know what you know. You are running free. None of these constricting things and awkward stuff that make beauty, right? That's why we wear heels all the time. No, like none of that, man. You're running free. You are enjoying life naked. That sounds wonderful sometimes, right? I mean, let's be real. I'm just being real. But the first emotion they felt was shame because they realized they were naked. How tragic that they were created to be open and just to see all of each other's wonderfulness, but all of their flaws. And then they felt shame. And then they hid themselves with the leaves. It wasn't to hide themselves from God. They were hiding themselves from each other, right? Oh no, I don't want you to see me, right? And a separation happened. You see, because they felt that shame and guilt for the first time, it caused us to experience and to feel that same shame and guilt. But we also see through Adam's and Eve's experience that they were never created to experience shame and guilt, right? That was never the plan. It was their choice. So now we have to experience that. But the thing is that shame and guilt destroys intimacy. We had a taste of it. They had a taste of true intimacy. And we do too. We get that taste of what true intimacy can feel like when we begin talking with a person, me and Eric, like, I love that man. You know, we start experiencing it. We experience God for the first time. But a lot of times we will get a taste, but we rarely actually experience the true intimacy that can happen. And God, through his word, is really calling us to move into a true place of intimacy. Last week, we learned that intimacy is a song of human love that must be navigated with wisdom. Last week, Eric spoke on sexual intimacy. This week, we're going to talk about emotional intimacy. And then next week, we're going to be speaking on spiritual intimacy. You know, we're in the book of Song of Solomon. Eric likes to say it's the sexy book of the Bible. It's the one that, like, you're not allowed to read until you're 18. So, like, it's an amazing book, and it's phenomenal. It really does teach us a lot about intimacy. But the last couple of weeks, we've talked a lot about relationships, more specifically in the context of marriage. But today, we're going to move forward into our intimacy with us. Like, this isn't just about marriage relationships. We're moving into a place of what intimacy looks like between friends, between family members, between community, so even our church here. I want to show you a graphic really quick. We've talked about this a lot, but these are our circles of influence. You have yourself in the middle, and that really is like just a couple of feet in front, just around. You have an influence over yourself, right? You make your choices. Sometimes your choices influence your future, right? Sometimes they're good, sometimes they're bad, but you have an influence over yourself. The next is your physical reach. So what we mean by that is those who are kind of, they're not in your bubble or your personal space, right? You are in my personal space. We have a little dog, Chloe. She does not understand personal space at all. And I mean, it's our fault because we let her, but like we got her when we were really young. Like, that was a long time ago. She's 12. We got her when she was like 8 weeks old. But anyways, she does not understand the personal space. She's like, I love you. But so these aren't the people like in your personal space. These are the people though that are in your physical reach, your close friends, your family, your spouse. And then you have those who are in your vocal reach. Because of the wonderfulness of social media, everybody has a voice on everything, right? And everybody has an opinion on everything. So those are the people in your vocal reach. Those are your people on social media, at your kids' schools that you have a conversation with, people at the grocery store that you talk to who are your checkers, and I mean, all of those. Anybody you can talk to or even social media, get stuff out there, that's your vocal reach. And then we have our spiritual reach. And the spiritual reach encompasses all of those, right? It encompasses everything. And our spiritual reaches, there's so much power in prayer, right? We believe that God is a God of miracles and he's a God of the impossible. And we can pray and we can really intercede for people who aren't just ourselves or in our immediate influence. We can pray for people all the way across the world who we've never met before, but we know they need prayer. So this is all of our circle of influence. And so with this topic right now, how we communicate and how we talk to one another in our circles of influence will really determine the level of intimacy we are willing to experience with each other and will experience with each other. So it's really our decision. How are we going to talk to people? How are we going to interact with people? And looking through the book of Song of Solomon, the culture that we want you guys to grab a hold of is that in the book, when you read through it, there really is this back and forth conversation going on that's taking place. The man is not silent. When you read through it, you hear him speak. You hear him talk about the F word, feelings. I know, men, that's a bad word. Sometimes feelings, he talks about them, he shares them, but then the woman isn't silent either. She shares and she opens up and she talks and she shares her heart and her emotion. They communicate with each other. You see, the problem is that most breakdowns in marriages, friendships, and communities is the lack of conversation, is the lack of communication. Right? Married couples, amen. You know it. I'm just speaking the truth, right? You know it. Friends, anybody who have friends in here, anybody get upset at sometimes or think like, they did that on purpose? Well, probably not, but because there's a lack of communication. And that's where real breakdowns happen. Honestly, one of the first things I go over when I meet with couples who are wanting to get married, is communication. If we can get you to learn how to communicate with each other right now before you get married, it'll save you so much time and energy in the future. So let's work on that, number one, right? But really, most breakdowns happen because of communication. But I'm going to give you a secret. There is a type of communication that actually builds communication and relationships and intimacy. Are you ready to hear it?
Yes.
Are you ready to hear it?
Yes.
Okay. It's called two-way conversations. What? Two-way conversations. Solomon and his bride in the Song of Solomon, or Song of Songs as it's called in some Bibles, they talk back and forth. There's no lectures. You see, there is a time to listen and a time to speak. That's crazy. But there is. And the crazy thing is that we need to listen more but speak less. For a verbal processor, that is really hard. That's really hard. And Eric, being an internal processor, he wants me to quiet more, and I want him to speak more, right? It's like, just tell me how you're feeling. I don't know how I'm feeling. Well, you gotta know something. Not yet. What? But we need to listen more and speak less. in Ephesians 4, 29 through 32. It says, "Let no corrupting talk come out of your mouths, but only such as is good for building up, as fits the occasion, that it may give grace to those who hear. And do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, by whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and slander be put away from you, along with malice. Be kind to one another." Bless you. You're welcome. "Be kind to one another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another as God in Christ forgave you." Can I get a volunteer up here? You're the first hand I saw, so come on up here. So, two-way conversation. Get on up here, girl. Yes. Okay. So, you won't need this or this, but you will need this.
Oh, I'm not very good at sports.
That's okay. Most people, like, really aren't, so that's okay. Yeah, you're good. You got it.
I might be better.
This is a T-ball, okay? So it's a little softer, okay? So a lot of times, two-way conversations should go like this, right? I'm going to... Yeah. All right, cool. Okay, now throw it to me. You ready? Yes. Okay, so I'm communicating something to her, and I'm making sure that she's ready so that she catches it, right? So she doesn't, okay, throw it to me. And then I'm paying attention to her, and I want to make sure that I'm understanding what she's doing so that I can catch it, right? So here you go. A lot of times, though, what happens is, okay, go ahead and throw it. Ready? What happened?
You looked away.
No, I didn't. I saw you. You threw it. Okay, well, let's try it again. Ready?
Okay.
Why do you keep hitting me with the ball? I'm really... She's going for my head next, so I'm not going to do it again. See, when you are really having conversation with people, the play of catch is very easy. It's flawless. There you go. Awesome. Good job. But what happens a lot of times is that we get into this season of one-way conversations. Go ahead. And it defeats the purpose of the word conversation, right? Right? So if we're playing catch and we're throwing it back and forth, and then that's not playing catch, right? I wasn't catching the ball. Can you guys give her a round of applause? Thank you so much. Oh, here. Here's your cards. I want to make sure you get your pen, too. Where did that sucker go? There you go. That's the life of catch, and that's the life of actual conversations, two-way conversations. I'm going to share with you guys 3 points this morning. I'm going to mention them really quick, and this is just a way, these are 3 ways that we can kind of see how those two-way conversations can be lived out. 1, encouragement lives out grace. 2, bitterness leads to unreliable execution. And 3, forgive each other often. So the first point we're going to go over, you can put 1 back up there. Encouragement lives out grace. Our goal must be to build up others, not tear them down, to make ourselves feel better. Did you see what I did to her when I dropped the ball? Why are you hitting me with the ball? What is your problem? Why aren't you throwing well? Well, that makes me feel better. Because then the responsibility does not rely on, it's not on my shoulders. It's on their shoulders. You see, when we look at the Song of Solomon, go ahead and put that scripture up. Song of Solomon 6, 4 through 5. Solomon speaks life into his bride. He says, "You are beautiful as Tirzah, my love, lovely as Jerusalem, awesome as an army with banners. Turn away your eyes from me, for they overwhelm me." Dang, I want to hear that, man. That's awesome. Your eyes overwhelm me. Your hair is like a flock of goats leaping down the slopes of Gilead. Yeah. That pickup line works, right? Yeah. Hey, Eric, you should have just told me that, what is it? My hair is like a flock of goats leaping down the slopes of Gilead. And then I would have said yes the first time, but I didn't. It was the third time, and that is a true story. He asked me out 3 times because the first 2 times I said no, even though I liked him, but that's a whole nother story. You see, it makes it more difficult to tear something down when you've spent so long trying to build it up, right? When you work on your relationships, when you work on your marriage, when you work on your friendships, when you are purposeful in building each other up and encouraging each other, it's a lot harder to start tearing it down because you've put so much time and energy trying to build it in the first place. You don't want to put that negativity in there. When you are around people, are people encouraged or discouraged when they're around you? I think a lot of times we don't ask ourselves that question enough. Are people encouraged or discouraged when they see you walking towards them? When they know that they're going to be around you? There's a book by Dale Carnegie. It's called How to Win Friends and Influence People. And Eric and I very much agree on this, that this book should be required for every single human being on the face of the planet. Because it's amazing. How many of you have read that book in here? Isn't it amazing? If it's been a long time, read it again. If you've never read it, get on Amazon right now and order it. It is a phenomenal book. But there's a quote in there. It says this: you can make more friends in 2 months by becoming interested in other people than you can in 2 years by trying to get other people interested in you. Ouch. Right? Ouch. Most of the times when we're in conversation with people, we try to make ourselves look good and to impress people. But it's true. You can make more friends and build better relationships in less of amount of time when you're just interested in other people and how they're doing. Here's a crazy question. How are you? Right? Whoa. How are you? And like actually being real about it and actually being interested in what they're saying. Not, hey, how are you? Oh, that's good. I need to tell you what happened last week. It was horrible. And in the meantime, they're like, oh, so you didn't really care. Okay, cool. I'll show you interest, right? What if we made it a point to champion people instead of tearing them down? There's another quote. It says, any fool can condemn, criticize, and complain, and most fools do. Are you condemning? Are you criticizing? Are you complaining in your conversations? We need to treat people the way that God views them, as his most treasured possession and greatest treasure of all, right? We have a saying in amongst our staff and even our volunteers, it's that you are a jewel, not a tool. That's what we live by here. You're a jewel, not a tool. If this diamond falls out of my ring, I am going to seek after it, and I am going to look for it, and I'm going to try to find it, and then I'm going to go take it to the jeweler, and I'm going to make sure that he can fix it, and he's going to buff it up, and he's going to clean it, because it's important, right? Most tools, oh, you're not working, you're not doing what I want you to do, so I'm going to toss you out, I'm going to get the upgrade, right? That's not how it works with God. We are his treasured possession, and that's how we need to treat each other, as jewels and not tools. Amen? Yeah. Number 2, bitterness leads to unreliable execution. When we try to communicate in bitterness, we become blind to the purpose and target of our conversation. It's like throwing a wild ball. Eric coached T-ball Our son is 7, so he started when he was 5. So it's amazing watching these little kids go out there, and they're just trying their hardest, and they are so stinking cute. But what happens? They get their ball, and they're just like... Why didn't you catch that? Right? And you're like, yeah, go for it. Thank you. And you're like, oh, thanks. I'm not going to lean over like that, like Eric did, because I learned from him, right? Amen. No. It really is like throwing this wild ball. When you try to communicate out of your rage and anger, or when you're fighting, and you try to communicate, when there's slander or gossip or even dishonesty, like all of these things can be built up with bitterness. And then you try to communicate it, and it's just going to bring hurt. Most bitterness stems from an uncommunicated hurt. A lot of times what we do is we keep those things hidden. And when we communicate or don't communicate out of that hurt, we will immediately hurt others. We have another saying, it's hurting people hurt people, healthy people help people. Many of us struggle in our relationships, and we wonder why people just want to move away from us. Like, we wonder why they don't want to stick around. And the reason is because they're trying to play catch with us. Like, they're trying to play catch with you. They're trying to engage, and you're throwing the ball at them versus to them. Because you're still hurting. We're still hurting. What if Debbie were to come up here again, and I'm like, okay, cool, stand right here. Okay, ready? And I just chucked it at her. Like, it would hit you, it would hurt, you would never want to play catch with me again, right? You'd have a bruise, and most of us do that. We're like, all right, I've got this hurt, I've got this devastation from previous relationships even. Hey-o, not even that person's fault sometimes. And I'm just going to throw it as hard as I can at you. Why didn't you catch it? What's the matter with you? Right? Until you communicate the hurt, the drama will remain ingrained in your mind and in your heart. It's going to happen. So many times people just want to play catch with us. Spouses, you just want to play catch with your spouse. Friends, you just want to play ball with your friends. We need to be people who actually want to play and throw to them and not at them, right? And that's why, one of the important reasons why we're going to be opening up this counseling center. If you're new here at the church, or if this is your first time, we have a property on the corner of property, a building on the corner of our property. There you go. Words are hard. But it looks like a house on that corner, and we are currently in the process of renovating it and getting it ready to open up a counseling center. We're going to be working with Emmaus Road Christian Counseling. And the reason why we're doing this is because we need to provide a safe place for people to get free of their hurts, right? To become healthy. Yeah, it's a thing to celebrate. To get healthy so that they can in turn help people, so they can stop the hurt and continuing to hurt others. Mental and emotional health are so important. And we want to make sure that we are a place that provides a safe place for people. Number 3, forgive each other often. When you play catch with somebody, somebody's bound to drop the ball, right? Even when you're purposeful, even when you're watching them, even when you are ready and you've got it and you're paying attention, you're communicating, sometimes, here, catch. Ready? You got it? Okay. Good job. All right, let's go. Sometimes I did that on purpose. You're good. I play softball, so I could try and catch that ball, but I did that one on purpose. When you are catching ball with somebody, darn it, there's going to be times where you're going to drop the ball, and they're going to drop the ball. My promise to you as a pastor is that I will disappoint you. I will. It's going to happen. My promise to Eric as his wife is that I'm going to miss the mark at times. Oh, my husband. I miss him a lot this morning. I'm going to miss the mark, right? My promise to my friends, I'm going to annoy you. I'm going to fail at times. My promise to my dentist is I'm going to cry like a freaking baby. Amen and hallelujah to that, right? We're going to drop the ball. And others are going to drop the ball. And we have to be filled with forgiveness, the same type of forgiveness that God had for us. We need to have for others. We previously read in the Song of Solomon that Solomon's bride had a dream. And in that dream, there was a fear that he was going to leave her and not be with her. But instead of allowing that to dictate her reality, she meets him with open arms and she greets him with love, not unforgiveness. She's there. Have any of you in here, like specifically like married couples, like you wake up and you're ready to see the beauty of your spouse and you look at them and you say, good morning. And they look at you and say, I am so mad at you. And you're like, what did I do? In my dream last night? I caught you flirting with another girl. I don't know who she was. She didn't have a face. And I was right there, and you didn't even talk to me. You didn't address me, and you just left with her. You just did it. And they're like, what the heck? Like, you realize that didn't actually happen, right? That wasn't reality. Yeah, but it felt like it. It felt real. Am I the only one? Like, yeah? Yeah? Okay, good. Okay, good. Just making sure I'm not the only one. You see, Solomon's bride, she could have done that, but she didn't. She still had that loving embrace. And the thing is that people are flawed. Amen? People are flawed, not just the person next to you or the boss that you can't stand or like, that means you. Everybody say, I am flawed.
I am flawed.
What? Right? It's true. All of us are flawed. But when we choose to live in a position ready to forgive, we can live freely. The greatest weapon we have as followers of Jesus, as human beings, is simply to learn how to forgive. To forgive others, and even to forgive ourselves. A lot of times, for us, that can actually be one of the hardest things, is forgiving ourselves. I'm going to invite the welcome team on up. I mean, sorry, not welcome team.
One more time.
Worship team, there we go. Everybody on the welcome team is like, what? I feel unprepared for this. Worship team, come on up. Colossians 3:13 says, bearing with one another, and if one has a complaint against another, forgiving each other as the Lord has forgiven you, so you also must forgive. There's a couple of things about forgiveness, though. Forgiveness does not mean you have to trust the person again who hurt you. Hear what I'm saying. Forgiving somebody does not mean, automatically mean, that you have to trust that person again. There are definitely situations where people will continue to hurt you, right? It's just going to happen. And I'll say this. There's a foolishness that comes with continuing to trust. There are times where that forgiveness has to happen, but there is a distance that needs to take place. So forgiving does not mean you have to trust the person who hurt you again. Forgiveness releases the control another has over you. And forgiveness also allows you to move forward instead of staying in the past. So, like every conversation, it takes you being willing to listen and be honest. That is how true and deep intimacy is built. So I really want to encourage all of us to let's move forward in building our intimacy with us, right? With each other. Knowing that encouragement lives out grace. Knowing that bitterness leads to unreliable execution, and knowing that we have to forgive each other often. Can we dedicate ourselves to doing that? We'll just be a better church, a better people, better followers of Jesus if we dedicate ourselves to that, right? Amen? Amen. Go ahead, I'm going to invite you guys to stand. We're going to take a little time to really reflect on kind of what we talked about today. I'm going to put the prayer and praise buckets up here. If there is anything that you guys need prayer over or for, if there's anything that God has answered your prayer, we want to be a part of that. We want to celebrate with you. We want to pray with you. And then after worship this morning, we have a couple of people that we're going to baptize. If you want to be baptized this morning, again, we have shorts, we have shirts, we have towels, so there is no excuse. We have all of your clothes ready for you. So if that's something that you would want to do, I just want to encourage you to come over here to this right side, right over here. We'll get you set up. And just so you know, we have an elementary schooler getting baptized today. So in just a minute, we're actually bringing in the elementary school kids so they can support their friend in their decision to be baptized. So we're going to have a bunch of really awesome kiddos right up here in the front. Okay, so let's show them how to worship. They're going to show us how to worship, huh? And let's worship together, and then we'll do baptisms.
Thank you for listening to The Well Podcast. If you'd like more information or would like to get connected, visit us at gotothewell.church. Visit us again next week as we continue to discover, encounter, and display the love of Jesus. You are loved.